WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnuts. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, everyone. This is Angelina Love.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
This is WWE superstar Natalya.
Hi, this is Brie.
And this is Nikki. And we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rap.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
I knew you'd come.
Everyone, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211, and if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, or WildTalkRadio.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. You know, and if you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FiveBoot.com because we love them and they're awesome and you should totally go check them out, but not during this show! Because you might accidentally click out of the tab. So, if you're just joining us, if you've never listened before, I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're streaming live, everybody. You can get us on the TuneIn Radio app. Just search Wild Talk Radio Network. See, I told you I would get it in right away. You can also interact with us live at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. It's at Rack Radio Show and at Lindsay Ward. Or you come to the website she just mentioned, because we're here, we're live, we're talkative, we're going to do a thing, because it's pay-per-view weekend, which means we have to preview pay-per-views because...
So wait, so you got it in right away just like you did with your Tumblr?
Yeah,
so
you can follow the show on Tumblr, at Rack Radio Show.
You're welcome.
Should I hit the button now?
You can hit the button now.
The NXT analyst, TJ Bellomega.
I'm a man with a plan.
I forgot I had that.
See, we're so fancy, we have an intro for you. Yes, we have our guest, the NXT analyst, TJ Omega, with us tonight.
Hello, everybody.
He's on Twitter, at TJ Omega.
I'm easy to find.
Except on Facebook, he's TJ Reviews.
We don't talk about that.
And he's trying to figure out new words for hell. If you have a new word for hell, please tweet him at TJ Omega.
I need analogs to the word, preferably that also begin with an H.
Heck.
I've thought about it.
Heal.
I've actually got a solution in mind that's hilarious to me. I don't know how many people will get it, though.
So stay tuned to the YouTubes for that one.
You know, honestly, if it's hilarious to you, I say go for it. Because if you don't please yourself, what's the point of pleasing anybody else, you know? Maybe?
Yeah, you have a point.
So.
Not going to make any comments.
I bit my tongue. I bit my tongue very hard.
Oh, come on. Just say it.
I think you just added on to it. So let's move on with the show, shall we?
Well, you keep adding on to it. I mean, you keep sticking it right in. So, you know.
Oh, good lord. Hope y'all enjoy.
Please move on with the show before I'm spent.
Where's
you
Lita?
Should have more stamina than that. My
there are three of us.
True. It is a three. Well, you should be used to it. I mean, my God, we have a foursome every Saturday night, generally, if he shows up.
Yeah, but that's enough people to our... I can just kind of take a break every now and then.
Fair enough. Anyway...
My nipples are hard. I am excited.
How do you even have that? Why do you have that?
My boobs are real.
Oh, God.
That was ZZ from Tough Enough fame. Here you go.
Oh, God, I forgot we had that one. Brock and his soundboard. You never know what he's going to pull out.
Hi, I'm Mark Calloway.
Like that.
Speaking of soundboard, it's tradition now. Should we start with it?
It is time for this week's Dancing with the Brother update. Drew Scott made it to the finals. How the f*** did he make it to the finals? Seriously, how the f*** did he do it? That was this week's Dancing with the Brother update. Presented by The Rack Extra. Total Divas. Heard weekly on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
That is so mean! You are so mean!
But is it truthful?
No!
Come on now.
We all know how he got there. Fan vote!
Because of his dancing.
So wait, who's he in there with?
That would require research. And we'll get to it in 2 seconds. So, yeah, he's still in it. Nikki Bella is not. Unfortunately, she's no longer on the show. Let's see. Going to series overview. Season 25, the people that are left include Jordan and Lindsay, Lindsay and Mark, Frankie and Whitney, and Drew and Emma.
Okay, that's not the finals.
Yes, it is.
They have, like, 2 people in the finals.
It's the final episode this week.
They're having 4 or 5 people?
They probably eliminate people first day, and then the second day there's...
Okay, fair enough.
By the time we do a show again, the show will be over.
Maybe, because the next time we do a show, we might be doing it on like a Tuesday or a Wednesday.
It ends on Tuesday night.
Okay.
So, by the time we do the show, this show will be over.
Fair enough.
So that's the one item. We have one other news item we want to get off the top of the show.
Yes, and that we have sad news. Very, very sad news for the WWE Universe. 2 hands and a plan do not conquer everything. And it seems that the chinless wonder, James Ellsworth, is officially done with WWE. They announced his release yesterday.
Hashtag blame Rock.
You're fired!
They did that just so I had to hear that creepy dent sounder. I know that's why they did that.
He will be
was bad enough. I had to hear it last week. Now I have to hear it this week too.
And the week before that.
I would imagine hearing it a lot lately.
Yeah, they've been busy.
So, yeah.
You don't do it for the TNAs too, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
But, oh, God.
But we don't do it individually. We just do it as a collective there.
Because he's not allowed to do it individually, because I'm only going to stand hearing it once.
You know, I think I figured it out. I think if I ever have a blame Omega, I want it to be when a wrestling company collapses. Like, the day TNA or whatever iteration goes under, I want the blame.
Dude, it's never going to go under. It's like a nuclear cockroach. It just finds a way to survive every time. It's kind of amazing. I actually admire it in a lot of ways, that they're, like, just... That company manages to somehow go into dire straits multiple times and it comes out. But they never learn anything. Like, they never get better. They just kind of hit a certain level of mediocrity and they stay there for a while and then it just goes downhill.
It's like one of those sitcoms where TNA is one of the big dumb husband types who has to learn a lesson every week and then completely forgets it by the next episode.
So TNA is like the Peter Griffin of wrestling?
That would make a lot of sense, actually.
Maybe.
I don't know, it works for me.
Thoughts from the chat? We'll let you all mill that over because, well, we have other things we have to talk about tonight. That does it for our news, brought to you by Gerwick.net. Quick, easy, simple things. Because we have to talk about NXT, and we have to talk about Survivor Series, which is this Sunday on the WWE Network. But first, we have to do the reason why Omega's here, and that's NXT, both from Wednesday night and Saturday, or this coming Saturday.
Well, there's only really one reason to talk about NXT from Wednesday. That was Mercedes and Ember.
I need more of that in my life, please. I need
I think
a lot
we all
more
do.
Of that.
We all do.
And my Scottish wife. I need more of my Scottish wifey.
And by the sounds of the commentary, it's sort of like...
I think she got signed.
It sounded like she got signed. I'm just, you know, it's a newcomer. Like, she's not newcomer, but... To them, she's a newcomer.
I feel like they were very impressed with Mercedes in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they've been looking to replace someone as a female coach. So it could be that she could be an on-TV persona. It could be they're bringing her in as a coach. I'm not really sure. But yeah, everything's kind of indicating that she's been signed, but they haven't like officially said anything yet. Which, if they sign Mercedes Martinez, I'm on board for that.
Pretty much.
Because if you don't know who she is, if you didn't watch the Mae Young Classic, first of all, what is wrong with you? go watch that. It's amazing. Second of all, she will blow your mind. She's super talented. And she's exactly what that division needs.
She's that veteran hand that division needs.
She's a boss.
Pretty much, yeah. I don't think there's really much anything else we needed from that show to really put over that we won't get into.
Oh, Pete Dunne called his father, which was very nice.
Yeah, I guess we should mention that.
So, Pete Dunne, UK champion, Snarly McSnarlson, called William Regal demanding competition for the UK championship, so he issued an open challenge, and William Regal offered it to Johnny Gargano, so next week, after TakeOver, we get Pete Dunne versus Johnny Gargano for the UK title.
So he's going to be a busy man, Johnny Gargano. One instance, he's fighting the Icon, the Showstopper, the main event, in an ab off.
And then we all know who's going to win that.
Shawn Michaels, because he's going to probably have a shirt with abs on it, probably. He'll win it.
Probably.
Well, because he's got nothing to do but build abs.
Well, it depends on who the judge is. If the judge is Hunter,
then
Johnny's sunk.
Oh, yeah.
There's a screw job at Survivor Series weekend. It must involve Shawn Michaels. Just saying.
Well, it's more Hunter doesn't want to cause friction in the marriage, so he's going to pick his work wife every time.
He was speaking some glowing things about his work wife today.
Of course he was. He's in love with him. I mean, how can he not be?
They're not in each other's space, but they work together. It's such a great relationship.
They're in each other's space. It's not just in public space, okay?
Right. No, he's in Connecticut. He's in Florida. They're working together. It's hormonal. It's fine.
Did you say hormonal?
I thought I heard hormonal.
I didn't say whore. I said hormonal.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Are you positive?
I am positive.
It sounded hormonal to me.
Not going to make a comment. We're going to move on. See? Chat room has my back. See? Chat room. Doing the eye thing.
Got chat room lies. We all heard him. We know what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, is that all we got for NXT then?
That's all we got for NXT. So moving on to TakeOver, which is this Saturday night on the WWE Network. And it's going to be the event that causes the internet to need to be cleansed. Because it's NXT TakeOver War Games. After what? 20 years? 30 years?
20.
50 years?
The last one.
84 years?
The last one, not Vince Russo'd, is what, about 20 years ago?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that. The internet's finally getting what they've been begging for, which is War Games.
But we'll get to War Games itself in a bit. Start with what's on lower on the card. And that's Cassius Ohno versus Lars Sullivan. Not really much build. There's a little bit on the show on Wednesday, but not much build. Ohno says he's on a roll. Lars Sullivan just been destroying people. My gut tells me he's going to destroy Cassius, but
No, Cassius is pretty thick. He might Lars might have a problem there.
But he's like their Braun right now. Don't see Lars Sullivan losing to Cassius Ohno.
Yeah,
like, Cassius is like the same size as Lars.
No, Lars is better.
It depends on where you're looking for the bulk, really.
This is accurate. Because Lars has got all of his, like, Lars is more muscular, but Cassius has got the weight behind him.
Yeah. Not going to say this won't be hard-hitting.
I'm, like, mildly intrigued by it, because it's like, it won't be the typical squash match, at least I hope not, for Lars Sullivan. Like, I feel like Cassius could give him a little bit of competition, which could be fun. Or it could just really suck. I don't know.
It could just really, really suck. But
they take that shot in every match. Who knows?
But I feel like it's not going to, because Cassius is so good in the ring that he could probably guide Lars to a really good match, or at least a halfway decent match. Because, I mean, let's be real, it's TakeOver. Nothing generally sucks on TakeOver.
No, usually the atmosphere and everything, even the weakest matches get bumped up just because of the hype and everything around it. By the way, we have a scoring update. It is now 16-14. The Pittsburgh Steelers up on the Titans after the first play in the second half.
Top of the third.
There was a score. Anyway, who you got, Omega?
This one seems like Sullivan. I mean, you said it. They're booking him like Braun Strowman. He's squashing everybody so far. This is his first big challenge. It seems no brainer here. Like, I really wish they were doing more though, no, because he's so good in the ring. You know, like, I've been big on Chris Hero for a long time.
He just sort of, he's like the second tier main eventers they got. He just didn't fit. You didn't want to put him with Drew just yet, because it'd be probably a little too soon for that one. He's not a heel, and Drew's a babyface, so he didn't go there. He's not involved with the guys in the War Games match, so he's just...
Yeah.
And Hideo just disappeared and is training for 205 Live.
I was going to say, where is Sassy Hideo? I miss Sassy Hideo. I need him to come back.
He is going to be on the Cruiserweight division once I find space for him.
God damn it, they finally found a way to make me watch 205 Live. Those bastards.
What, Enzo wasn't doing it?
No, Enzo just doesn't do it for me.
The incoming rock star Spud is not doing it for you?
I have to see what they do with him first, because it depends on which incarnation of rock star Spud we get. Because let's be honest, there's a lot.
There's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But when he's his sarcastic self, he's very entertaining to watch. Let's be real.
I just still find it hilarious that they were able to pick him up because of a visa issue. Like, TNA just completely screwed that up and waffled it, and, you know, it's like, oh, hey, look, he's on the market. Yoink. You snooze, you lose.
You snooze, you lose. I'm going Lars. 8-Ball's going Lars. Lindsay is going.
I don't want to pick against Cassius, but I kind of have to agree. It's probably going to be Lars. They're pushing him and not Cassius. And a loss to Lars Sullivan, especially with Cassius being so infrequent on their TV, I don't think it will hurt him that bad. They can easily have him get that win back, no problem. But they're trying to build Lars into a monster heel. And honestly, I feel like what they're trying to do with Lars is what they Ryback wanted to do, where it's like the big, mean... beat him up kind of guy, but he's very intelligent. He's very well spoken. He's not that typical monster Ger-Arg character, and it works for him.
Yeah,
so yeah, I'm going with Lars.
So clean sweep along the board, which means only one thing. Your winner, Cassius Ohno.
We're all wrong.
Aleister Black takes on the Velveteen Dream.
Say my name, say my name, say my name.
No, I don't want to.
You will in a minute.
Will I know? Anyway, this match... This has been a pretty good build, I must say.
I kind of want more of a build between them, and I think we're going to get it. Like, this is not going to end at TakeOver.
Why, you think this is going to go past TakeOver?
I feel like I want it to.
You feel like you want it to? Why do you feel like you want it to?
It's just the two of them flirting together. I really kind of have gotten to like it, because it's like, it shouldn't work for all purposes. It shouldn't work, but it does.
Well, like, when you get two characters like that contrasting so heavily, then, yeah, occasionally you do get some kind of weird mesh where it's, oh, that actually, I'm actually into that. I didn't know that.
Dream is so out there, and he's so absurdly committed to this character, and then you have the complete, utter polar opposite, which is Aleister Black, who's very stoic, who there isn't a lot of character, but there is a lot of, it's a lot of silent sort of character, that it just, it works. They balance each other so perfectly, and I love them together. Like, I love the little cat and mouse games. I love Aleister just being a sassy dick and refusing to even acknowledge Dream's presence. I love Dream chasing after Aleister. I mean, I love the whole way that they've done this, because it's been such a subtle feud between the two. Like, they've really gotten the characterizations to where it's like, yes, this works. Where it's like, Dream is chasing Aleister, but Aleister isn't changing who he is because of Dream. Like, you're not suddenly having Aleister Black out there cutting these long promos because Velveteen Dream keeps interfering his matches. He just tries to kick the bastard in the face. That's his long promo right there, is just going for the Black Mass, which I really like. I feel like they're really staying true to who they are.
Yeah. Like, he's the type of character that works best when he lets actions do the speaking. Like, you lose the mystique if he makes it work. It's like Kane when he came in.
Or Taker.
Like, Taker was a little bit more vocal. Like, Kane's whole point was no talking. I think Aleister's kind of works the same way. It keeps up that dark persona when you don't humanize them with speech.
Though, when he has talked, it has kind of been weird. Like, you don't expect it from that character, that type of, you know, promo. It's been weird. It takes you out of the silent assassin that he sort of is.
Right.
When he speaks, it's impactful. It means something when he's actually going to cut a promo and not just go out there and beat somebody up. Like, it's representing something, and so I like that they haven't had him do that. I like that they haven't had him directly call out Dream. It's like, you've had Dream kind of be the one that's calling out Aleister Black, and if Aleister can feel inclined, yeah, sure, maybe he'll come out if he wants to. But otherwise, no, he doesn't answer. So it's like, I really love that about this feud, and I want them to keep chasing each other. But here's the big question about Aleister Black, and I think maybe about Dream too, is they're both undefeated, right?
They are undefeated.
So who loses? Is it time for Aleister Black's record to end?
I get this feeling it's going to be Velveteen Dream who goes under. So that means Black goes over, so Black keeps a streak.
It's a really long way to say no.
Pretty much, yeah.
Really convoluted way to say no.
Someone has to be convoluted on a show once in a blue moon. And it's usually you. So I might as well take it this week. Yeah. I mean, okay. So we look at this show, and a lot of it's predictable. We'll get to the women's match. That's sort of... The top two are not as predictable as the bottom. I mean, they could surprise us and have the Velveteen Dream go over, and Black refuse to say his name, and that drives Velveteen nuts even more. Which would
or does this even get started?
Oh, we'll get started.
I'm trying to think of what would drive the feud more based on who would win here.
If you wanted to continue, Velveteen Dream should probably win.
Yeah.
But is this the kind of feud that you waste that first loss on? And not to say it's a waste, but just, like, is this the right time to do that?
You have to do it sooner or later because he's reaching that sort of almost... He's starting to come up on a year of being on the main or being on NXT TV, so it's kind of like...
Has it been a year?
You say that, but Asuka...
But they're not going to do that again with Asuka. I mean, it's one thing with Asuka, they brought her in and they did what they did. I don't think they're going to do that with Aleister Black because it's just too close together.
Right, right.
Also, Black's only been on the NXT roster since March.
It's November, so he's coming up on a year. I didn't say he's out of year.
So it's 4 months away.
He's coming up on a year. That's what coming up means.
When you say that, it's like you're 11 months. It's going to be 12. No, he's like 4 months away.
He's coming up on a year on the main or on the NXT roster.
It's still plenty of time.
I'm not arguing semantics with you on the show. Again.
Oh, we will we'll argue semantics. Anytime.
Yes, I know. Pez is not a toy.
No, no, no. We have proof that Pez is a toy.
They liked one tweet. They didn't confirm it with a like.
Just because a bot script liked your tweet does not automatically confirm it.
What bot script? No bot script.
You've mentioned Pez. That's all it takes.
I've mentioned Pez all week. I haven't got their attention till today.
Not a toy.
It's totally a toy.
Actually, technically, the candy liked your tweet.
And... Pittsburgh score, it's like 23-16 now. Or 23-14, whatever it is.
Anyway, back to TakeOver. We're not going to get into that.
You're the one who brought it up.
I know.
So, don't even.
I feel like they could use the loss to make Velveteen Dream. I think it would be impactful because it would be used to get Dream into a more solid place than where he is, because that legitimizes him 100% to beat Aleister Black.
Here's the thing. We don't need every person on NXT does not need to be the undefeated gimmick. While it's cool a lot, you always don't need it. At some point, you gotta go 50-50, 60-40, 70-30, whatever it is. With people, sometimes losses need to happen. So it could make sense where you put the loss here now, and then you push Aleister wherever he's going. We don't even know where that is.
I feel like at some point they will point him at the title. Not yet, but they're probably getting him ready at some point to point him in that general direction.
If he stays down there long enough to go after the title.
I don't think he's going up before Drew. I just feel like they don't necessarily have plans to send him up just yet because I think they're still trying to figure that character out. Because if he were to go up right now, I don't think he would do well. They wouldn't know what to do with him.
But maybe coming up on his year anniversary, that's when they take him up.
I still don't think they would know what to do with him. I'm citing Bray Wyatt on this.
But he's not cutting cryptic promos like Bray Wyatt is. I think they would do more with Aleister from the start. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. I feel like it would be okay to hang the loss on him here because you take him to the next, you either take him to TV or you build up to the next event or whatever. Because the next event's at, what, Rumble?
Yeah.
So you build up to that next takeover where you could do Aleister Black versus Velveteen Dream again. And it's like Aleister gets his win back there or he gets it on TV or wherever. Like you could easily have Aleister redeem the loss to Dream, but I feel like it would be really impactful for Dream if he were to win.
You mean like at the NXT TV tapings in Atlanta, Georgia?
Yeah, I'll tell y'all how that goes if I get tickets.
Because they're doing 3 taping days in Atlanta. Anyway, continue your point.
I know. I'm so excited. Thank you, Hunter! You're the best dad ever! Anyway, I'm going with Dream on this. I just feel like it's more interesting if Dream wins. Like, it's almost too predictable for Alistair to win, so I feel like Dream winning is less predictable.
It is less predictable, but is that what you're predicting?
Yes.
So you're going Dream over Black.
Which is crazy, because I really don't like Velveteen Dream, but...
Omega, who are you going with?
God, this really seems like more of a toss-up when we throw it out this way. I think the feud continues, but I think Black gets the win here.
Rock?
I'm going Aleister Black. It's that
and what does the 8-ball say?
The 8-ball says Aleister Black. So there you go. Up next on the lineup, Fatal 4-Way for the vacant NXT Women's Championship. Ember Moon, Kairi Sane, Nikki Cross, Peyton Royce. I have two people I don't want to win, and I don't know if I want the other two to win it.
So you don't know if you want any of them to win it?
I don't know if anyone... I don't know. I don't know who I want to win this one.
I know who I want to win, can I say?
Yes.
Scottish Wifey.
She's one of the two that I kind of want to win.
I feel like Kairi Sane's going to be a little bit too predictable.
Very. Very, very predictable.
And I don't see them putting it on Peyton Royce right now, although they could, and then you have Peyton and Billy do the Lay Cool thing, which is entirely possible they could do that. But there's also rumors that they're getting ready to go up. So I would say Ember or Nikki, and Ember may be on her way up too.
Is it wrong? I don't want Ember Moon to win this belt.
I feel like they had their chance with Ember.
Yeah, I don't think so. Like, I think Ember's the type, I don't think she really needs the belt. She's incredibly impressive on her own. More to that, I think you tell a better story if she's not able to win the belt.
And I kind of want them to put some edge on her and maybe a heel turn.
It feels like they're trying to go that way. She's a little bit more aggressive on him, on the last NXT. I would like that. I would go with a Kairi Sane win here if it meant Ember Moon snapped because she failed to win it again. I would really be into that feud.
Does Sanity still have the tag belts?
Sanity are still your tag team champions, yes. So adding the belt with Nikki would add more to that group.
I feel like Nikki's more unpredictable in a lot of different ways. I feel like she could bring some variety to that division because she's not your traditional champion. Not to say that Ember isn't. But I feel like for Ember, they had their chance over the summer and they chose not to do it to keep Asuka as champion, to keep her undefeated, and that's fine. And now you've had Asuka move on. And I feel like giving it to Ember, even though she's beating four girls, she's not technically beating the champion, kind of cheapens it. Like, I actually kind of wanted to watch her beat Asuka because I know she's good enough to do that. But it's like they didn't have her do it. So it's like, yeah, I don't know. I'm not feeling Ember. It's like there was a point where I was and now that moment's passed.
She peaked at WrestleMania.
She did.
That was her peak. That's when she should have capitalized on it. Now she's been floating around. She got injured and then she came back out in the second match with Asuka and fell short, so it's like at some point, it's a credibility thing with her. It's not saying she isn't talented, because we know she's very talented, but there's no edge, there's no personality to who she is right now, and I think she needs to find that fire in a way.
Well, I mean, I feel like they could do with her what they did with Becky Lynch, which is Becky Lynch never got the women's title in NXT, and then she got it when she went up to the main roster. And if I have to pick a belt for Ember to have, I'd rather have the main roster one than the NXT one. And personally, I could do both. Both is good. Both is fine. But, you know, if she's only going to get one, I feel like the women's title on the main roster is better. Because she could be that really unstoppable champion. Like, you put her on SmackDown and you just have her run that division.
Field goal by Tennessee. It's 23-17. You could have her run the division. Here's the thing about Kairi Sane. She's such the predictable answer in this. It's like we're just building this new division around her, and it feels like they're going to try to make her Asuka 2.0, and I don't need another Asuka 2.0 when I still have Asuka 1.0 on the main roster.
Not sure it's so much as Asuka 2.0 as it is God, Japan makes titans for women.
Pretty much. I feel like if you're going to hang a loss on Kairi Sane, this is the right way to do it because she doesn't get pinned
right
in the match.
It wouldn't be a loss.
it wouldn't be a loss. It's more she just didn't, she got screwed by the numbers game. So that doesn't hurt her any. So it's like when she does go for that title at some point, and she probably wins it, then it's a much more impressive victory because it's a one-on-one potential victory versus a four-on-one. You know, so it's like, I can see them doing that with her. Because honestly, I don't know how long she's going to be down there.
I don't know how long she's supposed to be down there.
Well, you look how long Asuka was just learning this. Because it's not, especially when you bring in someone from Japan, it's not just, you know, learning WWE style and all that. It's also, you have to get him acclimated to a new culture, new land, new language.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit more of a learning curve here that she needs to go through before she can come up to the main roster.
And I agree with that. And they'll probably have her down there 6 to 8 months, but it's like, you know, you can put the title on her at any point in that. I don't feel like you need to do it right away, although they probably will.
I think the bigger deal is on a bigger stage. I don't think this is the right stage for that big win.
If you're going to do it Mania weekend. Don't do it this weekend.
I feel like you need the babyface chasing. I think you need this belt on a heel. That's my thoughts. I'm going with Peyton Royce. I feel like the opportunity is now to strike with her, and she doesn't need to be a long champion. She can lose at the Rumble, for all I care. But I think the work that she's put in to improve, I think she should get it before the new crop of girls that are just coming in get the belt over her before they move up to main roster. I'm going Payne. Who are you going with, Omega?
Jeez, this is the only one in my brain I could categorically eliminate from this is probably Nikki Cross, which is a bad thing to do to her, but I can't see them putting all the belt on Sanity except the leader, because that puts a really bad shadow on him. Like, it sets up your title feud, but you actually have to pull through with that if you're leading a group of champions. This is annoying. It feels like the build is going to sacrifice somebody, one or the, like, I'm not sure. Like, I feel like they're going for a turn with Ember Moon. You need that kind of turn. You need that top heel for anyone who holds for that division. You know, it is extremely obvious, but I would go Kairi Sane if only because I feel like you've got stories to tell there. If this is what sets off Ember and you start that feud between the two, I think you've got a better story.
8-Ball's going with me with Peyton Royce. Lindsay's going who?
Scottish Wifey.
Why?
I just really like the idea of her as champion. I like the unpredictability with her and the non-traditional nature of her character. There's something there with Nikki Cross. She's got an it factor to her. And the way that they present her and the whole way that entire character is done, I really like it because it is so unconventional for them in terms of women and really in terms of some men too. It's like just, it's the whole presentation of her. I feel like she would be a harder champion to chase because again, she's not that girly girl. She's not going to be the one to come out and, you know, cut these really long promos. She's not going to do what normal champions do. She will be the one to, you know, kind of like chase you down.
Yeah.
And also be harder to catch, so she's harder to jump, which may make her harder to beat. Plus, she's got Sanity at her back, and they're purposely keeping her away from Sanity to build her on her own. I mean, I'm not saying she has to have the title long. She could have it and give it up to Kairi Sane. She could have it and give it up to Ember Moon. She could have it given up to, you know, anybody else. But, you know, give it to her, put it on her for a little while, kind of have her hold it until you go into Mania season, and then that's when you have a different conversation. See how she does with it. But she would be a nice change after the Asuka era, because it's something completely different. She's not that corporate champion. She's not representative of a corporate champion.
So, when was the last takeover? August?
Mm-hmm.
So back in August, we sat here with an intern and debated, what are they doing with Andrade Cien Almas? And we all kind of figured, they're building Johnny, right? We were wrong.
Poor Johnny.
Instead, coming out of that, they were building Andrade Cien Almas to get a shot at the NXT Championship at this takeover. Boy, were we wrong.
We never claimed to be good at this.
So, what are your thoughts on this match, Omega?
Yeah, this I don't know. It's hard for me to see past the complete dumping of CN for so long. Like, it's hard for me to see past, like, he's okay. They've been building him. He's kind of on a roll now. I like what they're doing with him now. But man, it's hard to forget. It was not that long ago that he was just really nothing. Now, granted, we are in the WWE universe now. We are accustomed to world champions who were absolutely nothing.
But I was gonna say, we were hindering someone for such a long time, and then we gave him his opportunity, and he didn't do anything. But he got his opportunity. So is Andrade going to become the gender of NXT?
It could happen.
I don't really expect it.
Well, here's the thing. If you're setting up for a heel to go after the title, because it all depends on what happens in the War Game match with Undisputed Era, but I don't think they're going for the main title right away with them.
Well, here's the thing. Before you go on, could we be in shock and there would not be what we consider the NXT Championship match come this takeover? Could Adam Cole become champion on Friday night?
He could.
Sean's the ref. Anything could happen.
Yes, Sean just kind of pinfalls whoever he feels like.
Or does Sanity screw Adam Cole?
He could, but I'm just saying, Sean's the ref. He's been promoting himself as the ref. He's putting it out there.
What does that do to the War Games match, though? Does Adam Cole walk in with a title? And CN's left out in the cold?
CN and Drew just fight each other.
Number one contendership.
Yeah.
Well, Drew gets his rematch anyway.
Right, they can do that on NXT TV in the coming weeks.
Ooh, I could get Drew McIntyre and Adam Cole. Ooh!
I mean,
the twins, they're fighting each other. I'm liking that.
The San Antonio show is not on the network. Just for reference, it's a house show.
But if you're in San Antonio and you have a Twitter or an Instagram, you could hook everybody up. Just pointing that out.
Just saying. And you go
We endorse that on this show at all.
You go to the NXT show, not that other show. Just saying.
There's another show.
The piggyback show with those club people. And we don't talk about that.
Wait, we're going to the club?
We're not going to that. No, not that. Not the club. A club.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, we go to a club.
But the club, I don't want to go to that club. That club's too sweet. I don't want to be with that club.
Oh, okay. All right, fair enough. Anyway, back to the match with Andrade, Cien Almas, and Drew McIntyre.
Someone's going to steer the ship.
Tangent! We do that a lot on this show.
All right, so the real question here is, does NXT have a tour in Mexico coming up?
No.
Okay, then Drew's probably winning.
Does it really matter because they have a tour in India coming up and he's not the champion?
Okay, but we're forgetting about the outside factor here with Zelina Vega.
Oh my gosh, is she tiny?
Yeah, she's tiny.
I knew she's tiny, but on Wednesday when she was in the ring
and she tried to jump Drew.
Oh,
it's like
oh god, they let a kid. They let a kid in the ring. Oh,
it's like wow, she's tiny.
She's 5 foot nothing.
Hey, you do not mess with short chicks, okay? You just don't. We will take your face off. If we can reach it.
I'm not questioning it.
So, yeah. As far as this matchup goes, I'm not overly excited for it. Because Andrade really still doesn't do much for me.
I feel like they're trying to do something with him.
They definitely are.
I mean, after months and 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 months of not doing anything with Andrade Cien Almas.
He was at the club a lot.
He was at the club a lot. They had Zelina show up and straighten him out. Here's the thing. What are the odds that they're going to get another shot to give him a championship run? If they're going to do it. Because, I mean, you could take the title off of him and you could point McIntyre in a different direction after they settle the rematch. You could have the feud continue because Zelina will play a factor. This will not be a clean win. If it is Almas, there will be shenanigans involved unless she gets thrown out. And even still, there'll be shenanigans before that. I kind of want Almas to win.
Pittsburgh weather touchdown. Why do you want him to win?
I don't know. It's just, it was like, it was really kind of predictable with Drew, where he like came out, he showed up, first match out, he wins the title, and everybody's like, oh, yay, Drew McIntyre won the title. And I'm not saying Drew's been a bad champion at all. I think he's been a really good champion. But again, it's like, it's the really predictable thing to have him win. The fact that, you know, he doesn't see, it's almost like he doesn't see Almas on his level.
No, he doesn't.
And so it's like Almas surprises him and gets the upper hand on him and beats him for the title. And it could be a fluke, or he could actually beat Drew fair and square in a match, and you just could continue the feud. Because it's a good feud to continue for Drew right now, especially with Sanity and the Undisputed Era mixing it up. So it's a nice way to keep Drew busy while you're waiting for Adam Cole to kind of get it together. Or for not to get it together, but to get done with Sanity. Or for Eric Young to get done with Adam Cole, whichever comes first.
What do you think, Omega?
God, I'm still trying to figure this match out.
Like, it seems too quick, but it doesn't.
I need to address something in the chat room. I just give Omega a chance to think.
Yeah.
Leo Rush will not be the NXT champion anytime soon.
Leo Rush is going to be lucky if he sees TV anytime soon.
Just pointing that out.
Leo Rush is lucky to have a job right now.
Yeah. Let's all be real. He's lucky to have a job. So, that bought Omega 30 seconds. Omega, who you got?
That's all the time in the world to figure out a match this complicated.
I could talk about how a Reese's pumpkin does not look like a pumpkin. It suspiciously looks like a Reese's egg.
I'll give him 30 more seconds. Drew McIntyre will retain the NXT championship.
Okay, I didn't hear any of that.
I know. Now you hear. Yeah, you realize what it's like on Sundays when you're playing with toys. Get it? Drew will retain the NXT championship.
Yeah, he will.
As the 8-Ball says, without a doubt. So it's 3-1.
Hey, I called gender. I was the only one to call gender.
Were you glad that you did?
In the beginning.
By the end?
No. Okay. If they had turned gender face...
We're not here to talk about gender. That's in segment 2.
I'm just saying.
Talk about him.
If they had turned gender face, it would have probably gone a lot better than what it did. That's all I'm going to say on the subject. War games!
Go ahead, Omega.
My head hurts.
For which part?
Everything.
You're welcome.
I am so looking forward to this. Jeez, I haven't... I was still a stupid fan the last time I saw a War Games match.
You aren't now?
Getting better.
Getting better.
But no, like, I'm super excited to see how NXT does a match like this when they not really had a... You know, it's not one of the go-tos that they can just pull out anytime they want. And, oh yeah, we know how this match works. We know how to set everything up. We know how to pace it out. No, we're just flying by the seat of our pants, and that's kind of exciting. It's not so much the match itself as the fact that you haven't done it in so long. I'm really excited to see just how it goes over, like how they pull it off.
So there's shark cages. There's no roof. I'll shed your tears now. There's no roof on this cage.
Eh.
Oh, the amount of people that were bitching on the internet this morning.
It's not that big of a deal.
No, it's really not.
But it is to them.
It is to them, but...
These are the purists.
Purest of the pure, that they cannot have a War Games without a roof.
You're lucky they're doing it with two rings. Because you know WWE does not like to give up that much floor space.
Triple H had a push for this.
Oh, yeah.
Took him a year to get this.
Not surprised.
So, no roof means, guess what? People are going to be jumping off a high thing. Call me crazy. People are going to jump off a high thing.
So wait. I have a question. So if Hunter had to push for this, right?
Yeah.
Is he the one that's got the secret kink that keeps coming out? Because, I mean, you've got cages inside of cages. Guys are going to be beating each other up. This is pretty kinky.
It's not cages inside of cages. It's multiple cages.
Somehow that made it kinkier.
I understand this. But if we go back to War Games with Ric Flair, there were handcuffs. So, you know, you can add to your kink there.
But that's Ric Flair.
I mean, shit, we want to go way back, man. I've seen matches with electric chairs involved.
We don't want to talk about them.
Was it in War Games?
No, it was some other thing. Some other electrified cage gimmick they did.
Another bad idea brought to you by WCW.
When the lever did not just work.
Yeah, the lever. Broken lever.
Would just keep falling down. Sell the shock. No. but I fell down. Sell it. No. How dare you? It should be fun. It should be exciting. Oh, wait, what do you think? Who you got, Lindsay, in this one?
I don't really know, and part of it is because I don't really know what to expect with this. I've never seen War Games before. Shocking, I know. Like, I started watching WWE well after they did the last one. So, I've never actually seen it, and I never watched WCW. So, I'm intrigued, and I'm a little curious to see what this all is, because you always hear about it. Like, you know, everybody talks about War Games and how epic it was and how awesome it was, and it's this crazy thing, and it's like, okay, all right, cool, I'll bite. So,
not all of them were great.
That's what I'm gathering. That's why I haven't watched any, because I don't know which ones were really good and what's on the network.
Yes, there's stuff on the network, but we should let her experience it for the first time on Saturday.
So, honestly, my gut is going with Undisputed Era, because they're still pushing them. That's just me, and also for personal point-related reasons.
For that long shot win.
Because Mama needs points.
Let's be real. She's pulling down last place like a champ.
Damn right.
Ain't it fun?
Yeah. I don't even have to worry about it. I don't even think about it.
But here's the thing. At least she wasn't doing negative points being last place. Like some other plans.
Look. Give me credit that almost worked.
Almost. But it didn't.
You tried really, really hard.
So, yeah. Who you got, Omega?
This is a tough call here. I don't think this one goes to Sanity.
Okay. See,
I'm trying to suss out the Undisputed Era in this match, because for one, to make them lose in their first, you know, big match as a unit would kind of suck for the new coming team. But at the same time, they're still fresh and relatively unestablished on NXT, even though everyone knows who the hell they are. I'm thinking of matches you can set up if Roderick Strong and the Authors win, because that gives all three of them momentum toward new title matches. But they're the ragtag team. They're the one that was thrown together. So it also wouldn't make sense. My logic is running in circles here, which is bad, because I'm trying to apply logic to WWE booking. But it's NXT, so that kind of works sometimes.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's not actual official WWE, it's NXT WWE. So
yeah. I don't know. Like, in my head, I can come up with reasons for Authors and Strong or the Undisputed Era to win. It's kind of toss up here. And right now, I think I'm leaning Undisputed Era.
This match is designed for a heel team to win. That there's only really one solid heel team, and that's Undisputed Era. You could say the Authors of Pain, but they've been floating towards the middle as of late.
I feel like their time is kind of gone. They hit their peak as well, and now they're coming back down.
They should be moving up.
Very soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been in the rumor mill for a while now.
Because it just, they have a shelf life, and if you don't capitalize on it, it's just wasting time. And the more they stay down NXT, you're just wasting time. I'm going on this, it just makes logical sense. I can see Roddy turning, but I don't think they'll do it. I'll think they'll tease it, but in the end, he takes the pin in the match. So I'm going on this, the 8-ball is going with Sanity.
Now, there is a factor we didn't consider.
How dangerous will Nikki Cross get when she dives off the top of the cage?
Yeah, that. And also, could Roderick Strong turn? Could he help his buddies? They've been teasing that as well, so could you have Roddy join the dark side and become part of the new Nexus, or...
We are one.
The Nexus. The ROH edition.
Armbands included. Yeah, black and yellow, too. So,
because obviously Roderick Strong and the Authors of Pain are not meant to get along. At some point, that will implode, and they'll either attack Roddy, or he's going to turn on them.
You don't have to get along in this type of match if you're just out for the common enemy. And I think their situation is more they're out for the common enemy.
But where does the common enemy stop? That's, for the Authors of Pain, that's the question. Because all of them could be common enemies, except for Rezar and other one.
Akum and Rezar.
There you go. They haven't been on TV in a long time. Except for
a couple times.
Wednesday.
2 weeks ago. Yeah.
2 weeks ago. So it's like names. I don't know names. I'm sorry.
They have name tags, and then they take off their jackets, and then you don't have name tags. They should have the name tags on their gear.
It's Mean One and Meaner One.
I don't think he terms. I said that there's a little bit of tease, but I don't think he terms. But that's just me. You think he turns Omega?
Ultimately, I don't think so. Like, the character they've built up so far doesn't seem right. I don't know. Like, I feel like in this kind of match, it's really kind of hard to have a turn just because it's a survival situation. You know, you would have to completely... I don't think you... If you see Sanity eliminated out of this match completely first, then you have a chance at that.
You say it's impossible. I give you Mr. Perfect.
Okay. Point.
If I'm going to drop the one of the two Wargames matches I've seen, I give you Mr. Perfect.
Okay, let's just put it this way. I don't think this happens so long as they are outnumbered. If you get it down to just the authors in the Undisputed Era at some point in the match, fine. You have that opportunity. But as long as Sanity is in there, like, even if he does turn, you're creating a 5-on-4 scenario.
Anything is possible in WWE. Just saying. But that, in a nutshell, is TakeOver.
That is TakeOver. So, Omega, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Well, you can find me pretty much all over the internet. It's at TJ Omega on Twitter. It is TJ Reviews over on Facebook. It is TJ Omega over on Tumblr. And it is TJ Omega over on YouTube. And I have a whole bunch of new stuff that's been coming out the pipe lately. So, have a look.
So yes, go check him out, because he's awesome, and we love him, right?
Aww.
So, we're going to say goodbye to Omega, thank you so much for coming on, and when we come back, we're going to be talking all things Survivor Series, we'll be doing a little tweet of the week, so you don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra. Weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
The Chosen One.
The journey of the Chosen One has begun in WWE 2K18. Follow his path from WWE NXT hopeful to WWE superstar to one day being WWE Hall of Famer. Watch the rise and fall of the Chosen One. Only at youtube.com/rackradioshow.
The Chosen One.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns,
maybe I have one more ass kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last.
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, believe it tonight, I do happen to have a bit of a show plan for you. I know, you're like, what? And I know it's a bit surprising, I know, and, you know, sometimes you just gotta bear with me, though. I got what you need.
So it's I Heart Bret Hart?
We're not gonna give a shit about that anymore, remember? He told us to fuck off.
No, he told you to fuck off. He didn't tell me to fuck off.
All a boot Bret Hart. We all know that.
He wants to get all up in Bret Hart's Kool-Aid.
Tim wants to ride the sharpshooter. Hi, Tim.
Harder, Bret, harder. I'm not feeling it yet.
Oh, that's the real screw job right there.
Tell Lindsay the fuck off was directed at her, too.
You know, Tim, if you're going to just talk to Rock, you might as well just call in and yell at us. It'll be a lot easier for you.
Would it be better if I just yelled at you all?
Yes, it would.
Say those narcissistic motherfuckers.
Hi, Tim.
Shut your pie hole, Phoenix.
I'm sorry.
Scottsdale? Glendale? I don't care. Arizona? You fucking redneck. When I want your opinion, I'll give it to you. Until then, shut up.
What's up?
You don't want to know. If I were you, don't ask.
I think Bret Hart is what's up personally, but, you know, you never know.
Join us for the 10-year celebration of your only excuse to be home on a Saturday night. TB Radio. December 2nd. Midnight-ish Eastern, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey to date, Instagram.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at WildTalkRadio.com, Gerwick.net, or RackRadioShow.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FightBooth.com because they're amazing and you'll love them. And if you're just tuning in, well, you missed the NXT segment with the one, the only, the NXT analyst, TJ Omega.
And not the intern. Because the intern's too good to come on the show and talk.
But you're just in time for Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So we have a submission for Tweet of the Week from One Wit, who
hold on.
Sends us...
Hold on. I like how someone, this intern, had to go mentoring thing and was in the chat room 5 minutes into the show. Just want to call him out on that thing. Anyway, continue. Wit, send a tweet.
Hashtag TuneIn app.
Chat's not the TuneIn app. Anyway, TuneIn, we're streaming live on TuneIn Radio. Just saw Wild Talk Radio Network.
Anyway, Wit sent in a tweet from Dash Wilder. My home state, Starcade, the natural Dustin Rhodes. My time machine worked.
Did it, though? Did it?
Don't poke.
No, no. If the time machine worked, then does it get paid like it's the 1980s?
I think he already does.
No, I don't think he does. Let's continue on.
HVWA tweeted out at Real Kurt Angle versus at Xavier Woods, hashtag HVWA, HVWA forever, to which Xavier Woods replies, remember that time when I hit the current Raw GM with a nasty honor roll? I do, and it felt great. Kurt Angle, Abs College America, why these hashtags? I don't like 280 characters, get off my lawn.
Wait, Xavier Woods and Kurt Angle have met before?
Once, in a promotion far, far away.
Huh. Huh. Okay.
Xavier Woods, really hoping that Twitter adds an option to filter out posts going past 140 characters. Reading insults with 280 is going to take too much time. Or, you know, I think all of us are so used to tweeting in 140, it's going to take a while. And if you haven't seen it, I liked it just because it's awesome. Trent Seven and Xavier Woods mixed it up in Mario Kart. Go watch it. It's on Xavier's Twitter with a full link to the Facebook page. And it's highly entertaining. Oh, Trent. Trent, honey. You tried. But we may get a rematch. We may get a rematch.
Maybe.
I'm hoping so. That would be awesome. So, Drew Gulak was posting out pictures of his sign, and Scott Dawson replied, there, I fixed your sign. It's the no flips, just fists, Dash and Dawson. Little insignia, to which Drew Gulak replies, excellent graphic design work on this, and a fantastic message to the universe. Fist them good, guys.
More fisting things on the show.
Phrasing.
Phrasing. A lot of interesting phrasing.
Xavier Woods. Unicorns versus hounds. One is magical and brings happiness to all. The other drinks out of the toilet and eats its own excrement. We'll totally fight you. We just ask that you don't breathe in our general direction. Seth Rollins replies with a gif of the hound drinking his ale, beer, whatever. WWE tweeted out, are Big Cass and Carmella thinking about moving to California? There's plenty to discuss and rap about on the all-new Total Divas. But you can hear the Rack Extra Total Divas every week, except for next week because it's not on, right here on wildtalkradio.com. It's a podcast. It's a thing we do. Check it out because it's awesome. But James Ellsworth replied, wait, Big Cass and Carmella were dating this whole time and nobody told me? James, honey, bless. And that's all I have.
EC3 to the indie wrestler who knocked Robbie E. Impact in the face and knocked his tooth out. Please tweet me the address. I can send you your check. Fake Sports Center. The United Nations has charged Ohio State with crimes against humanity for what they're doing to Michigan State. They did whoop on them.
Yeah, they kind of did.
Luke Harper tweeted, it's Sunday. You know what that means. Rusev. Yes, I do. Love Rusev's Twitter. WWE Creative-ish. The Shield and Real Page? WWE? This is going to be the best Raw of 2013. Hashtag Roman Lane. There was no Page, so it was 2012. Becky Lynch. Raw can go suck a lemon. Ziggler replies with a gif from The Simpsons where the dude was eating a lemon and gets a sour face. Becky Lynch replies, pretty sure I saw Sheamus making that exact face.
He probably was.
So remember on Tuesday when the Shield wear those half shirts? The Raw. Mm-hmm. The next two tweets are about them. Ryan said, too many old timers were joining the Shield, so they had to create a black and red version. See what they did there? Send WO for life. And TDE Wrestling told Divas episodes, oh, so nice of the Shield moms to stitch together those half and half shirts for them. It was very nice of them. Rusev, I heard my wife Lana got beat up by some Raw women on Rusev Day. I make love, not war, people. Finally, Drew Gulak. No, I am not currently taking bookings for birthday parties. Because on 205 Live, they were doing things with a party and a cake.
Will he come help me with my PowerPoint presentations at work? Maybe? No? Okay, fine. Fine! Although I really want him to. Because that would be kind of awesome. To, like, you know, have Drew Gulak there and, you know, us talk about all things PowerPoint and stuff like that. Can I just say, honestly, me personally, that I actually enjoy Drew with Enzo more than I ever did Cass. And that's not a slight against Cass. That's more Drew is just such the, like, plays the perfect straight guy to Enzo's crazy. And the way that he tells the jokes in the straight guy format is just genius. Because he's just like, you know, making puns. And it's, he means them in a completely innocent, non-sexual way in some cases, like the whole fisting comment. You know, it's like, he didn't mean it like that, but that's how it comes across. It's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. I love what they're doing with Drew Gulak right now. What do you mean you didn't have the ability to call in? Damn it, Brent! You've been here the whole time and you didn't call? How dare you? Corner. And you can't take the cookies with you. Unless you want to call in for Survivor Series. If you would like to call in for Survivor Series, you are welcome to call in for the Survivor Series. That will get you out of the corner. Just saying. But anyway, he's abandoned me, so we're just going to kind of sort of like skip over and talk about Survivor Series, which is this Sunday on the WWE Network. We do a little pick 'em challenge here for everybody. We don't have any prizes this week or this go-round for pay-per-views. But if you want bragging rights, if you want to say your name on air, please send your picks no later than Sunday at 5 p.m. to either the Wild Talk Radio Network Twitters or any of the other social medias that we have. Just look for Wild Talk Radio Network. Or you can send it to Rack Radio Show, any of the social medias there. And we are happy to accept them, put them down in our format, and, well, best picks win. We will have tiebreakers for you to fill out, so just listen in and we'll, you know, right now, whenever he decides to show the hell back up. And, you know, we'll have you pick the tiebreakers as needed. So we are going to be talking about Survivor Series this Sunday, like I said, on WWE Network. Just keep hitting that plug as I sit here and stall and try to find a match list because I can't find one. I wasn't prepared for this. Nobody prepared me for this. So let's see. All right. So we have a fairly stacked card for Survivor Series. We are going to start with the kickoff match. I don't know why I'm saying we. It's just me. This is why I shouldn't be left to my own devices. Where we have WWE Cruiserweight Champion Enzo Amore, who I was just talking about, taking on Kalisto. And it was just Kalisto's birthday. Somebody went into a cake. I think it was Drew, or it was Kalisto, or somebody who went into a cake. And, yeah, I'm going to say, as much as I hate it, Enzo wins. Because it's Enzo? And honestly, they're not going to, like, rechange the title after they just, like, put it. Oh, wait, no. Who is the Cruiserweight Champion right now? That's the other really important question. I should probably know that. You can tell exactly how observant I am. This is why I'm a terrible host and I need him, is because he tells me these things. Because I generally am not paying attention to these kinds of things. I just kind of like sit there and make stupid comments and have fun. Okay, so yes, Enzo is your current Cruiserweight Championship. He got his title back. That's right. So yeah, I don't see Enzo losing. I don't see him losing his title again. So, but what could be interesting and what might play a factor in this is what could possibly happen regarding Neville, because there are rumors with Neville circulating that things are going really, really, really well with him, that they've kind of renegotiated some things with him. And so he could make a return to TV. It's a long shot, but he could come back. Who knows? And he could interfere in this match. It's entirely possible. But yeah, I don't see Enzo dropping the title unless there's some kind of interference somewhere.
Enzo retains.
Oh, you're back. Thank God.
Yep, I'm back.
Warn me next time.
Well, when nature calls, I answer.
You had a whole break.
Nature didn't call them.
You had a break.
Nature did not call them.
Well, tell it to call sooner.
This is not the Big Bang Theory. I'm not controlling. Anyway, moving on. The 8-Ball picks Kalisto.
Okay.
What's next on the card?
Up next, moving on to your main show, we have the Intercontinental Champion Miz taking on Baron Corbin. I wouldn't say this has been a great feud, but it's been a funny feud, and I say funny in terms of entertaining, where there's been a lot of smack talk back and forth, which I very much enjoyed.
I don't want to see this match. I don't think anyone really wants to see this match. Everyone's hoping Sin Cara would beat Baron Corbin, so we didn't have to see Miz versus Baron Corbin, but we're seeing Miz versus Baron Corbin. Keep it short, keep it simple. Please don't go longer than 7 minutes.
On the upside, Bo and Curtis will be there, So there's something.
I don't need this match going beyond 7 minutes. I don't think it should go beyond 7 minutes. It's a 4-hour show. I still don't think it should get more than 7 minutes. And 7 minutes is being generous, because I don't think these two will have chemistry. I don't think it'll be that great of a match. Baron Corbin usually doesn't have great matches.
But it depends on who he's in the ring with. Miz is really, really good at guiding younger talent through a match. So I don't think it's going to suck. I think it will be decent. There's been some chemistry there, but it's really hard when you're on opposite shows and you never see each other to get any kind of chemistry. I have enjoyed the smack talk. I've enjoyed the Twitter battles back and forth. It's been very entertaining. In that regard, I like how they're using social media for pretty much all of the Survivor Series stuff, because obviously they're all on opposite shows, so they can't see each other to talk on TV. So what's the next best way? You do it on social.
By the way, I love that every year now, it's Raw vs. SmackDown Survivor Series, and they'll never see each other for the promotion, because there's always that 2-week European tour in November.
But they see each other on the European tour.
But they don't. They're never in the same towns. Just saying. And every year, the build-up's going to be weird because they're never on the same.
I just hate Raw versus SmackDown. Like, I hate that so much.
But here's the thing.
I get it, but I hate it.
It only happens one time a year.
It happens more than that.
Not really.
Yes, really. They'll do something at Mania for it.
But that's not an entire show that's built around brand supremacy.
At least it's not bragging rights. Bragging rights was always really annoying to me, where they had that stupid little trophy.
You know this basically bragging rights without calling it bragging rights, right?
Yes, I know. There will be no trophies involved.
This is very accurate. April has Baron Corbin winning.
I feel like, given how SmackDown's night is probably going to go, that Baron Corbin's going to pick up a win here.
So this is our first SmackDown Raw match. I'm giving this a SmackDown, so Baron wins. I keep track of this.
Yeah. Up next, we have the traditional women's 5-on-5 Survivor Series elimination match. Raw and Asuka's going to be one of the sole survivors. And Paige will be the fifth member of the women's team.
Well, you know, by sole survivor means the only one who survives. Sole means one.
Right, but the way that they say it.
I know, and I hate that every time. Sole survivor is one.
Asuka will be one of the survivors. But, well, okay, but let's think about that for a second. So if it's Asuka on Team Raw and Paige comes back to SmackDown.
Mm-hmm. We're assuming it's Paige. It could be Natty.
I still say it could be Paige, but that's a quandary to put yourself in, because it's either you have Paige lose, which they may do.
But it's not like, it's Survivor Series. You can lose in Survivor Series.
Yeah, but returning, that doesn't help her. It's not going to hurt her as bad as it normally would, but it won't do nice things for her.
No.
But at the same time, they may have her on, like, the humility track.
They could. You look at the two teams, right? SmackDown, no offense, is the weaker team. Now that Charlotte's off the team.
Yeah.
I'm going Team Raw, and for shits and giggles, we'll give a tiebreaker. Lindsay mentioned tiebreakers at one point, I think.
Yes.
Who will be the surviving members of that team, of Team Raw, of the Women's Survivor Series match, the tiebreaker. So I'm going with, I think Nia gets DQ'd, Asuka survives, Alicia's first out, Bayley's second out. So Sasha and Asuka are your two surviving members of the team. Yeah. So I'm going Team Raw.
Yeah, I say Team Raw as well. Unless, because it's like the other way you could bring Paige in is Alicia doesn't wrestle, she's the captain, and you have Paige come back to take her place.
I wonder where you got that idea from.
No idea. This guy that I talk to a lot came up with it, so, you know.
You know, just saying.
But yeah, it's got to be Team Raw on this one. The minute they put Asuka on that team, it's like they're not going to have them lose. They're not going to break her undefeated streak for this. They're just not.
Unless she gets counted out. That's the only way, you know.
Does that hurt her streak if she gets counted out?
No, it's not a loss. She's never been pinned, never been submitted.
Okay, well that could solve that problem.
What's next?
Next, we have the other women's match. Raw Women's Champion Alexa Bliss versus SmackDown's Women's Champion Charlotte Flair. You know who wins? My ovaries. That's who wins. Because this is going to be fun as hell.
Yeah, it will be fun as hell. Charlotte just got the win. Alexa's the big heel. I really wish there was a long program between these two at some point, because I think it'll be really good.
We'll get it.
We'll get it at some point. I think this match will be fine. I'm trying to debate who should win. Oh, by the way, Team SmackDown says 8-Ball.
I say Charlotte wins.
Yeah, I'll go with Charlotte. Alexa can take the loss and just, you know, brush it off the next day. I'll go Charlotte, giving SmackDown the second one. Yeah, okay. Charlotte wins. 8-Ball says Alexa. What's next?
Up next, in the other fun match, we are having the Hounds versus the Unicorns. It's the Shield taking on the New Day.
Can we just say the amazing beatdown led by the Shield on Tuesday was awesome?
That was pretty hot.
They powerbombed the crap out of Shane.
It was amazing.
It was a fun #RawRetaliation. They were under siege, now they retaliated.
I just like that they all waited till Roman got back to do it.
Well, you know, he's the big dog. It is his yard. He has to come back and defend it. Did I hit all the plugs for Roman on that one?
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
This is hard because the Shield beat Evolution, but they lost to the Wyatts.
You just put the Shield back together.
You're in the city where they formed.
No, you're not.
No, but there's something tied to the Shield with Survivor Series.
That's where they debuted.
Okay, alright, that makes sense. You know, I feel like New Day can take the loss, and the Shield wins. Like, you really should have the Shield win.
This is the easiest match on the card. Shield win. It's that easy. Let's be real. You don't put the Shield back together to lose to the New Day.
Fair enough.
That's just my thinking. But the 8-Ball says New Day wins.
Up next, you have the Raw Tag Team Champions Cesaro and Sheamus taking on the SmackDown Tag Team Champions The Usos.
If I'm going selfish, I'm going Cesaro and Sheamus. I don't know about that. The match will be really good. This could be the match that steals the show that doesn't... like the sleeper match of the night. And no one going to what we talk about, but it'll be probably one of the better matches on the show. Just because of the quality of people in the match. Tough. I'm trying to think this out now. Because in my head, I'm trying to get it to go 4-3. Going with Cesaro and Sheamus. I just feel like the undercard is going to be very SmackDown heavy.
Yeah.
So Raw needs one.
Well, but the Shield's getting the New Day.
I'm still going with Cesaro and Sheamus.
I don't want to even Steven it, because they've been pushing the Usos pretty hard, but yeah, I want to see Cesaro and Sheamus win, honestly, more. It's not a shot against the Usos, they're just the more interesting duo. And Raw needs the bragging rights. Wants the bragging rights, so there you go. 8-Ball?
The 8-Ball is going with... The Usos. What's next?
Up next, we have the men's 5-on-5 traditional Survivor Series team, where we will see a returning Triple H versus Shane McMahon. And let's all be 100% honest in this match. That's all we want to see.
# Triple H movement.
I just like how Thanksgiving is next week, and they put them in a match with each other to deal with each other's issues before they ever sit down for Thanksgiving.
It's their own version of Festivus.
It's their own version of Festivus. It really, really, really is. It's like Vince is like, I don't want to deal with this crap. I don't want turkey flying like we did last year. You two are just going to beat the crap out of each other, and then you'll be really subdued Thursday, and it'll be fine, and everybody will have a good time, and we can all just enjoy ourselves.
Let's think about these scenarios, right?
Mm-hmm.
At some point in this match, it will be Kurt Angle versus Shinsuke Nakamura. Think about that one.
They may have to cleanse the internet again.
It will be a TNA reunion feud of Bobby Roode versus Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle battles his boy, Shane McMahon. You have Triple H versus Bobby Roode. You have Triple H versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
Honor versus Shinsuke. Yes.
You have John Cena and Samoa Joe. You have Samoa Joe and Shinsuke Nakamura.
There you go. That's the one everybody's going to want to see. Yeah, they're definitely going to have to clean the internet up after this one. This is going to be really good.
And this is not take away from Randy Orton, but Randy Orton's also against these people too. But and Braun Strowman. Randy and Braun are there. Finn and Shinsuke. Finn and Cena. Finn and Bobby.
Yeah, the list goes on and on and on and on in terms of people combinations.
There's a lot of mega matches in this one. This is going to be a really fun match. It's going to go a long time. The simulation for this went 55 minutes. It's available at youtube.com/rockradioshow. Think about that. It went 55 minutes with entrances and whatever. So that's probably an example of what it's going to be on Sunday. So for people wondering how they're going to fill 4 hours of pay-per-view, this match is an hour just about with everything.
Probably, yeah. Including entrances and everything, yeah. Every bit.
There are people complaining, why is Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn not on Team SmackDown? Why would they represent SmackDown with Shane McMahon? They don't like Shane McMahon. Why would Shane McMahon, one, use them on his team? Two, they don't like Shane. They won't be on his team.
Why is Bray Wyatt not on Team Raw?
Triple H movement.
But I want my boo-boo.
I know. I can see Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn interfere in this match. That's a given, I think, for all those involved. It's pretty much a given.
I can see Jason Jordan playing a factor in this match.
Jason Jordan will definitely play a factor in this match.
There's going to be a lot of shenanigans in this. They're going to set stuff up for Mania in this. So I can kind of see this being a balls to the wall. Everybody's going to brawl with everybody. We're going to have outside interference. We're going to have a bunch of stuff with this match just because of who all's in it and the stuff that's kind of going on outside of it. And yeah. Given how competitive Stephanie is, Stephanie could also bring in a little outside help.
That's, you know, where she's hoping Bray Wyatt.
Because, you know, I swear to God, Bray's in bed with Hunter and Steph, which would not surprise me.
I mean, Taker was for all those years with Steph, but that
Taker still is.
We're not supposed to talk about that one.
They're married. The whole marriage to Hunter is a sham. Or she has multiple husbands, which if she does, I completely respect her.
Who you got?
I'm taking Raw. I mean, Hunter kind of trumps Cena. I was going kind of leaning towards SmackDown because it's like, well, you got Cena, you got Rude, you got this person on Raw, and you look at Raw's team and you're like, yeah, you know, you got Angle, but you kind of look at the rest of the team and you're like, yeah, yeah, maybe. And then Hunter showed up Monday and it's like, nope, go me Raw. Raw's going to win.
I believe there's a stat. Like, John Cena is undefeated in Survivor Series tag matches.
I think.
Yeah, I believe that they mentioned that last year.
Oh my God, could he have a streak?
He could. Not a winning streak. But he's 4-0 in Survivor matches. Brandy's probably one of the best in Survivor matches. So that plays a huge part for Team SmackDown.
Yeah, I know, but I just have a feeling you up the ante with Hunter. Because here's the thing, now it's Hunter is the family. It's family versus family, essentially. It's Hunter versus Shane. They're kind of moving away from Kurt, and they're setting up that Hunter versus Shane dynamic, and but, it's family bragging rights.
But are they? Or are they setting up Kurt Angle versus Triple H at WrestleMania?
They're probably setting up Kurt Angle versus Triple H at WrestleMania, but the other story is Shane and Hunter. And it's, I feel like Hunter's going to smack Shane back down.
But I can also see Kurt and Hunter causing a ruckus and could lose the cause of it.
They could? So are you taking SmackDown?
Hell no, I'm taking Raw.
Raw traditionally does really, really well in these types of events, so... And...
Team Apel is Team SmackDown.
Apel's being very contrary tonight.
I know. And finally, what's up?
We have the Universal Champion Brock Lesnar taking on the WWE Champion, AJ Styles in a non-title champion versus champion match.
I currently have it scored 4-2, which means... I'm going to be completely wrong. Or I could go, AJ Styles. AJ Styles.
You know, honestly, Brock can stand the loss. Because this is his last date for 2017, right? He only had like 2 left.
Unless he's working a house show, I don't expect him on TV the rest of the year.
So, here's the thing. You could have AJ Styles beat Brock Lesnar, and then Brock Lesnar goes out until the Rumble when they bring him back. Because he'll still have the title. He'll still be the champion. Like, there's no disputing that. But it's like Brock Lesnar can go away back to his farm in Canada and be up there and give AJ the win. Because I feel like now it's, okay, you're going to give back. We're going to have you start to make people. We're going to have you start to give back. Because I probably feel like this is his last year with WWE. We say that every year, but this really feels like his last year.
Survivor Series is not always the best show for Brock Lesnar. Remember what happened last year.
Right.
He lost in 86 seconds to Goldberg. Back in 2002, Big Show beat him when Paul Heyman turned on him at Survivor Series. These are all examples of things where it doesn't always go right for Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series.
I feel like AJ gets the upset, because then that gives pride back to SmackDown a little bit. Because it's, okay, we didn't win the 5-on-5s, but by God, our champion beat Raw's, and that's all that really matters.
It would elevate that belt, which needs to be elevated tremendously right now, because of the whole gender thing.
I wouldn't even blame gender, it's just it's poor booking on by WWE's part in a little bit. But I think more so it would legitimize AJ Styles. Not that he really needs it, but it would put him back in that main title picture, or that main focus again, where he gets this big legitimate win over Brock Lesnar, and now he's a badass because he beat Brock Lesnar. And oh God, who can take him down kind of thing.
Because if he beats him, he has to go on a roll, and I could see them putting him on a roll for a while.
Because I can see them doing a shakeup at some point, maybe. Or they might wait till after Mania this year, like they did last year. Or actually technically this year, and they'll do the shakeup next year. But
should also mention, he also lost a traditional Survivor Series tag to Brock in 2003. So does he even have a win at Survivor Series?
I don't think so.
This was sort of like Brock's the opposite of a streak. He doesn't win at Survivor Series?
That's what he gets for the thing.
Could this be a stat that I'm just uncovering right now? I think so. So, if that's the case, let the losing streak continue and go AJ Styles over Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, because again, they mentioned it. It's like AJ's got the speed. And Brock doesn't do well with the speed, which we've seen before.
We have seen it before, yeah. So I'm going AJ. You're going AJ?
Mm-hmm.
8-Ball's going AJ.
Which means Brock's going to win.
Totally means Brock's going to win this one. I mean, it makes sense for him to go over. Yeah, so we'll go with that. We'll make that a thing. So, again, it's just, I believe you mentioned at the top, you go to facebook.com/groups/WildTalkRadio Network starting tomorrow, probably around 3, because they love to throw in a last-minute, you know, additional match somewhere, because that's what they do. But I don't see one getting added to this show. But that'll do it for us here tonight on the show.
That's right, so you got stuff to plug.
Saturday night, midnight, CB Radio. We'll have the Great and the Great Debate on comedians. We're gearing up for CB Radio 10 on December 2nd. CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter, and .com. Sunday night, after Survivor Series is over, it's Wrestle Talk Radio at 11 p.m. Eastern. They'll recap the entire thing. Somewhere in all that, we'll have the Raw Post Show Monday night, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. There is no Rack Extra, because, let's face it, they're showing White Chicks, and we don't review White Chicks. Tuesday night, though, is twitch.tv/rockradioshow. Ultimate Survivor will have 2 Survivor Series matchups in WTR Sims, 11:15 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday night. Next week is the Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble Thanksgiving Spectacular. We'll have the Survivor Series review. And who else knows? There will be an NXT review somewhere, whether it's on the show or it's its own separate thing. Just stick to the Facebooks and Twitters at Rack Radio Show to find out more. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rack Radio Show, and all the social medias will be a thing for Rack Radio Show. It's Facebook, Twitter, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, Tumblr, Instagram, YouTube, Twitch. It's all there, Rack Radio Show. At Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at Linsward, LINSWRD. Go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/Linsward, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out the awesome sponsors, Wrestling Figure Photography, instagram.com/mbg1211, gerwick.net, and fightbook.com. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will see you next week. Gobble, gobble, wobble, wobble. Bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.